This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome to this Research Talks special this week. We're doing a special company-focused research talk specifically on one company in the flexible grid solutions and battery metals space, and that is Corcel PLC. So, Alan, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks, Mark. And once again, it's Friday and the sun's shining. Prospect of a good weekend in store, we hope. And I'm actually going to the pub this weekend.
Well, good for you, Alan. That's all I can say.
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. Yes. Of course. I know where you're situated, Mark. That's not on the cards yet, is it?
But not quite on the cards yet. So yep. Please do have one for me, and I'll have to sup away in my house.
I will raise a glass to you. I'm looking forward to a really good pint of local pale ale from the Longman Brewery, which is very good. So
okay, excellent. Well, you make sure you enjoy it, Alan. You make sure you enjoy it.
I will.
Okay, so Corcel PLC then, Alan.
Yes, this is a fascinating company, they have a very good website too, so I urge listeners to go and take a look at the website, and it'll expand on some of what I'm going to talk about today. But Corcel, of course, is the old Regency Mines. It's currently trading on AIM with a 7 million market cap. Shares are just over 2p, in fact, just slightly under a 7 million market cap. Traded as high as 2.45p on the year and as low as 0.7p. But Corcel manages a portfolio of battery metal exploration projects along with reserve power generation and storage assets. So it's a very unique combination in as much as it's on trend with UK, but both UK government, of course, the bigger macro picture of net zero and decarbonisation trends in power generation, and of course supplying the tools for the new clean energy revolution. So Corcel, I'm going to cover the battery metal assets first of all, and then I'm going to talk about the power project at Burwell in Cambridgeshire, which is quite unique. But also there are some very compelling comparatives there, which we have to look at to gain some idea of the potential upside in valuation. So to start with, there are two assets in New Guinea, one in eastern Papua and one in southeastern Papua. We have the Mambari Nickel Cobalt asset, which is 41% owned by Corcel and 59% owned by Battery Metals Limited. It's a huge area, it's 256 square kilometres, and there is a JORC resource estimate already in place with 162 million tonnes of nickel at 0.9% and a smaller percentage of cobalt. Effectively, that equates to, on the asset, it equates to about 1.5 million tonnes of nickel, and that's in eastern Papua New Guinea. It has been very quiet there in recent years, so there's not been the asset, if you like, has been dormant. And of course, we've spoken in previous weeks, Mark, about a lot of mining assets that have value, but they remain dormant for various reasons. And Mambari is one such asset, but it is expected that this will come back in focus because of course interest in nickel with its various applications, and the project is now moving forward to a mining lease, and of course looking to fill this surge in demand for nickel use in batteries. There is a secondary nickel asset called Wowo Gap, which is another amazing name, which is that's in southeastern Papua New Guinea. Now, this is slightly different. The incumbent developer there is a company called an ASX listed company called Resource Mining, and there's a JORC resource at Wowo Gap of 125 million tons of nickel. So there's the 125 million tons of 1% nickel, which equates to about 1.3 million tons of nickel and 83 kilotons of cobalt. The difference is here that Corsair has a debt position of just under $5 million Australian dollars with the developer there. And there was an announcement by RMI, Resource Mining, that it had acquired a second nickel project in Tanzania in Africa. So there are expectations now that there will be some sort of a settlement arrangement here, possibly even with a debt swap, and that may well leave Corsair with both those nickel and cobalt assets in eastern Papua. That, of course, is yet to be confirmed, but there are expectations there. And indeed, a note published by Align Research this week points to that that being very much a possibility as well.
How does it? Sorry, just to interrupt. How does it work with the debt position they've got, Alan?
Well, they have a debt position. So in order to settle that debt, Resource Mining may well opt to pass on the project or elements of the project or elements of the Tanzanian project to Corsair in settlement of that debt. It's got to be settled. In any event, it is repayable in the next 12 months. So one of two things will happen. They'll either acquire more of the asset or they'll have that cash on their balance sheet. So either way, it's going to be it's a very positive outcome outcome for Corsair. So the third asset is all the way across the other side of the world in North Yukon in Canada, which is on the border of the Arctic and northern wastes of Canada. It's alongside what's called the Dempster Highway and is known as the Dempster Vanadium Project. There are some 190 odd mineral claims here, and this is in an environment which is vanadium. Well, it's referred to as vanadium rich metalliferous block shales, so or BSV for short in mining jargon. Back in January, at the end of January, Corsair updated on a drilling and sampling campaign that had taken place there. And the samples of vanadium that came back were very strong indeed, a range between 0.1% and 0.35% from some 14 rock samples and some 179 soil samples. And of course, the next step now, the company has said, is that it will identify a series of drill targets and continue off the back of the data that it has from there. And of course, you know, vanadium is another key asset in the new electronic technologies in batteries and other applications. Mm-hmm. So that, if you like, is the asset in regard to the interests in mining assets, and those range in valuation that they're thought to be currently in the region of about 12 to 12.5 million dollars, possibly even more than that. But that's an estimate from a back of the envelope calculation. So the Burwell project. Now this is a 100% owned project. Corsair recently bought the other 50% from the two shareholders, and that was completed. And this is a shovel ready battery storage and solar project in Cambridge or close to Cambridge, which is set to energize in 2022. And that's in early 2022. So we're basically probably just under a year away from the Burwell project going live. The Burwell project owns the last 100 megawatt connection at the local substation, is some 50% battery storage facility and some 50% solar, so 50 megawatts each, effectively. So Where's the value in this? Well, the value has come hugely into focus with the IPO this week of Mast Energy Developments, and of course that was an asset that in which Kibo Energy has a large stake, and there have been some comparisons done both by Align Research and also others in the marketplace looking to make this comparison. So it's known that Mast Energy, probably 8 to 9 months ago, were at what is referred to as the shovel ready stage, where of course the Burwell project is now. Now the company's progressed, developed the asset, got it ready to go, and what this basically does, it takes up fills in with a reserve power solution. So when there are spikes in usage at various areas across the UK, it can fill that spike by using a clean green energy to produce electricity. The UK system is one of the most sophisticated in the world, and it's got many moving parts. And of course, we've had previously coal, gas, and nuclear power plants as the main source of energy, but new forms of energy generation are replacing these plants gradually across the UK. And of course, with the advent of the charging stations, the fact that people are going to be charging their electric cars from home, and the different ways in which electricity is used, there will be electricity will be consumed in different ways going forward. And it is anticipated that the reserve power market, such as that provided by Mast and shortly by Burwell, will be crucial in plugging those gaps across the country. So Mast came to market. It's currently worth 23 million sterling. It came to market with a 5 to 10 megawatt capacity that it can immediately plug into the market. Now, Burwell has 100 megawatts, so there is a huge difference there. Now, Burwell is, as I say, some eight to 9 months away from going live. So it's shovel ready. It's ready to go. And given that valuation, if the same metrics from the Mast valuation were applied to the Burwell project valuation, Burwell would be worth well over 40 million sterling to Corcel, and that's before you get to the mining assets. So you get some idea of where I'm coming from here. We've got a company that's got this, got a major asset that's been proven in the marketplace. This valuation has been proved in the marketplace by Mast coming to market. And yet the shares are sitting where they are at just over 2p with a market cap of 6.9 million. Now, whichever way you slice it, I think there's some tremendous upside on offer, and there is quite a unique mix here on offer from Corcel, both with the battery metals and of course the Burwell power plant. I'm just going to throw some numbers now, and these were taken from some estimates that were out there. So there's estimated to be a sum of the parts valuation of around 52 million, and that gives it to gives the company a valuation of 16.5p versus the 2p it is now. Even with the warrants that are out there in the market, that still comes back at around 13p. So we're still a long way behind where the valuation is at present. Mm-hmm. But also, I've been looking at some other calcs out there that people have put out and analysts have put out this week, giving Corcel a much higher valuation, giving Burwell a valuation of 180 million, which equates to a 60p target. Now, that's conjecture, of course. But the thing is, Mast has proven its model. It's out there. It's going to expand rapidly and increase its output. And of course, we will then see a corresponding increase in the valuation of the company on the market. So that's got to be very positive news for Burwell, and I think with the progress that the company has made, and particularly it's the fact that the FGS, the flexible grid solution plan is looking at many other potential sites around the UK. If Burwell were repeated after that, I think you can get some idea of where we're going. Hmm. So, of course, just to look at the people in charge, we've got James Parsons, who is the chairman of the group, also chairman of Ascent Resources and Coral Energy. He spent some time, of course, at the helm of Sound Energy as CEO, and prior to that, he spent 12 years at Shell. So he's, you know, very well acquainted with the industry, and obviously connected and very well known throughout the industry too. The chief executive is a guy called Scott Kaintz, and Scott's is a former US Air Force officer. He then started working as an analyst. He has been executive director at Curzon Energy, and of course is a non-exec at Red Rock Resources. And also on the board is as a non-exec director is Ewan Ainsworth, also with Ascent Discovery Energy, and formerly worked for Gulf Keystone Petroleum a few years back. So a very interesting company, you know, run by a very well-qualified bunch of people. I think this company is hugely undervalued. And I think in the next few months, we're going to see as the Burwell project moves towards distributing its first power into the UK network, I think we're going to see a significant revaluation by both retail investors and also probably institutional investors taking an interest following the Mast Energy IPO.
What I like about Corcel is they are the whole sort of package, aren't they? They're the whole kind of deal when it comes to sort of battery metals, because you've got the mines and then you've got the end sort of product, one of the end uses, which is there in Flexible Grid Solutions, which is it's something that's not really there at the moment, is it? It's an industry that's coming up and coming, but. Is it work? So the Mast IPO, then, that's a good comparison to make. You said they've got a 5 megawatt capacity versus 100 megawatts that Corcel. That's 20 times more than Mast. Yeah. And what was the IPO? 23 versus what? 7 million on market cap of Corcel.
It's basically worth 23 million. It raised, I think, 5.5 when it came to market. But it has that valuation immediately out of the box. Okay, it's plugged in now, so it's now generating power. But it's it was at the shovel ready stage 8 to 9 months ago. So so Corcel is only really 8 to 9 months behind, I think, you know, we're going to see early next year the Burwell project come on stream. But it's not just Burwell, you know, there are the Flexible Grid Solution operational team are looking at other assets that they can potentially bring on stream too. And the issue, I think, the exciting thing is here that the UK. The UK network is changing dramatically. It's seeing a sea change as a result of our habits as consumers. And of course, when electric cars become mainstream, we've got all the major car manufacturers going fully electric, Ford by 2030, Jaguar by 2025. So that's just a few years away, you know, so the consumption rates will be dramatically different, and there will be regional spikes. There could even be power outages as the system adjusts. So of course it means that they can sell that electricity into the grid at a very profitable level, and local demand will be picked up by these little reserve power units around the UK.
But
as you say, it's with Corcel, it's also the mix. You know, you're getting the battery metals out of the ground all the way through to the power that those batteries generate being sold into the market.
Yeah, it's got to be the age of batteries, hasn't it? It's got to be upon us right now, and we'll look back in 10 years' time, and it'll just be normal, and we'll just think, why did that not happen earlier, because it's just so obvious that that's the best way to manage power, both for a grid, but also, of course, for the EV revolution. So there's an awful lot going on in that space at the moment that's really only just about to go. And with Biden getting elected there and a whole green sort of initiative, and there's lots of companies now there's not so many, but we're going to see a lot more, I think, listed companies in green tech. There's more coming, sort of, you know, every
Well, there's a couple more. I mean, for example, you've got Ektek, which is which is an aggressive in the market. Obviously, it's a lot further down the road, but that's now worth 140 million. Mm. You've got Horizonte Minerals that's also in nickel, cobalt, vanadium, 132 million, and so on. So you know, the comparisons with Corcel, I think, are tremendously exciting and indicates that there is an awful lot of upside to come here. As investors, we're looking for companies to get in at the ground floor, and to really get in right at the start, into a proven marketplace. And I think what we've seen with Maast and obviously Ektek and the others, you know, we're seeing proven levels of valuation, proven metrics for calculating the value of these assets. And Corcel at the moment simply doesn't have any valuation for the Burwell project on its books, as far as I can see.
I agree. And you're right, get in at ground level. So thank you, Alan, for giving us that investment case for Corcel PLC. So that was our special research talks just focused on Corcel. Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @StockboxMedia.